all officers on the trauma-informed response. That's what we're calling the basic. I teach a little bit of it at the DB 101 course at Post. Just so y'all know, I won't be here till about 1 tomorrow. I couldn't reschedule my Post session tomorrow, so I'll be at Post training. But the other part of the House Bill 200 requires that we do advanced training for SVU detectives. And we've got the curriculum finished. And it's a 24-hour course, 3 days. It's been going since Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Is today? No. It's been going since Monday. Today's our last day. Sorry. Been teaching there. And we've got 33 officers that are in attendance on this advanced sexual assault training. And the curriculum, as with any brand new curriculum, is going to need some tweaks and some revisions. But we've been really pleased with it. What Post did is I hired a professor down here at UVU and one other person, I can't remember that person's name, to develop the curriculum, incorporating all the research, everything that Donna created over the years, that Marlise has been working on, drawing on the experts. It's been a very joint effort between victim advocates, between law enforcement, between prosecution. And so, like I said, they're in their last day today. It's been really, really successful. It has gotten national attention. I got a call from a reporter in Minnesota who has heard about it. In Minnesota, where he's at, they've been doing a series on victims and how they're treated throughout the judicial process. And when he heard about this curriculum, this training that we're doing, he says he hasn't seen anything like this across the country. And I said, no, you haven't. I mean, it really is pioneering efforts here in the state. And I can't send him a copy of the materials because we don't have them in a finalized format, but I probably talked to him for about 30-35 minutes, and he was just excited that here we have this training to teach officers how not to re-victimize victims of trauma. So I asked him to send me a copy of the article, and he says, oh yeah, we're going to try and take make this a national issue. So he kind of joked, he says, I never really expected something this cutting edge to come from Utah. And I said, I know, go figure. So Marlise has really been heavily involved with that, as well as getting out into many of her jurisdictions and doing her basic training. She's actually out of the office more than she is in, just because the demand is there. So she's been doing really great things on the HB 200 training.
And yes, I still miss her.
I know, I bet you do. Let me go into the IT issue. We have successfully spent the $1 million grant. So that has been spent. So the remaining balance of $235,000, that's the one that I'm waiting to hear if we're going to get the additional grant funding. I was hoping that I would have heard by now. Richard Zebarth, my grant manager at CCJJ, said they meet the first part of September. And so he thought that he would have heard by now, but he hasn't heard. He's pretty confident that we'll get the money. And so if we get the money, then it's a moot point having to, go to divide it up between the individual users. I have not issued a final memorandum of agreement. Some of this is just, I just cut and pasted from the last council meeting, because I don't want to send out something without knowing what the final numbers are. So that's why nobody has seen an updated memorandum of agreement, because I just don't know what the numbers are yet. Ron, do you want to talk a little bit about where you're at in terms of the actual product?
Yeah, we're just kind of finalizing some of the outline, the fields and stuff that that had been missed in the first look, and doing some of the screens and stuff for like the civil part that will be included as part of this. There'll be some civil screens. Just kind of met last a couple weeks ago to go over that, and then they're just going to build the final thing and ask us to look at it. And it looks like I've had several people say they want to look at it. I gave them a login and nobody's gotten any feedback back to me, so I don't know if anybody's. Typically in a project like this, you ask for feedback, it's kind of like very quiet, not much given, and then you say, okay, we'll go live. You go live and then you get a lot of feedback. So
can we still do that?
Well, that's probably where we're gonna end up going, in, we've got a county, what county are we, Wasatch County, and I think, what is South Jordan City? One of those cities in the south of the valley. We're going to go, we're gonna implement it there, and then we'll just have them use it, fix whatever didn't get fixed in the, up till now, and then start. From there, we'll decide, based on who wants it, who's signed their agreement, go start getting it everywhere else. So it's really close, there's just a few issues, I mean, there's some drop-down lists that we haven't been able to completely define yet, because everybody wants something different. Since everybody will be on the same database, essentially, we didn't wanna, you know, give you 5,000 entries to look through. But the system is really cool, because if you know what's in there, you just start typing, it pops up right to where you go, and you don't have to drop down the list and select it from a great big list, so it doesn't even matter a whole lot if there's a lot in the list of drop-down, I mean, like, reasons for, you know, like, what is it, what do we think, like, case types and things like that, you get, people like a lot of different things to define. So we're just working through a few of those final issues and trying to get an agreement on what everything should be, and then we can make changes as we go, tweaks as we go pretty easily. Do you have a question?
Yeah, are you still thinking about doing the online, where people log in and you can kind of show them a little bit about the system and where they would, kind of just a quick, brief showing of the system and how they can go from
Well, actually, there's an update, about 15-minute update on Thursday that we're gonna do about it, and I'll show it live, what we've got so far and what it looks like.
For the legal assistance.
Oh, here, no. Legal assistance?
Yeah.
You mean like doing online meeting or something?
Yeah.
I don't have online meeting software, but I'll look into seeing if we can get something like that together. I think that would be valuable, just put together something, say, here's, we're gonna be doing some training soon, and we'll start, at that point, of course, we'd have everybody together in a situation where you'd see it live and be able to play it. But it might be helpful to see it just before. And the thing is, I haven't had a whole lot of training, so I can't show them everything. If I get Chris from Journal to show them, then he knows everything, the ins and outs of it, how to work it, and show them all the cool features, which I sometimes forget how to show. You know, things like, you know, discovery is pretty slick, how to do that, and documents and all that. And I don't have, I just kind of fumble my way through it just like anybody else right now, because I'm just trying to learn it myself. So we're close, we're hoping, like as Bob said in the notes, we're hoping to get some kind of started the first of the year, getting people live with the system. But before that, I'd like to do, you know, at least one regional training before we go live with everybody, and have people who want to get that, and then we'll just deal with individual issues going forward after it goes live.
You know, it's been a huge amount of work that Ron and UPC have put into this. I've been amazed at how much effort it's taken, but I think it'll be worth it when the product's there.
Yeah, just one more note, those of you who've had, those who have participated on the committee, that you've had Joelle come to all the meetings, and Provo City had
Karen.
Thank you, Karen, come to all of them. And then there's a few attorneys, some attorneys from cities and counties that have come to it, and we really appreciate those, that input, because it's been invaluable to get it to where we're at. And I know we're going to be making changes along the way. We'll be making tweaks probably for a year after it goes live or so, and then it'll settle down. I mean, these minor tweaks, I don't think it'll be things that will interrupt the business, because right now it looks like all the input we got from Karen and from Joelle, and they say that this is cool, this will be easier to use than what we have now. So anyway, that's kind of where we're at. It's just about ready to go. When Bob gets a new MOA out, I'll get it out to everybody so that you can see the exact cost, the exact everything, and then before we can install it anywhere, it has those forms have to be signed. So JCI won't install it anywhere live until they have that agreement signed, which makes sense.
And it'll be able to e-file?
Yes, it will e-file with the course. Now, right now, there's no plan to get data back from the courses for scheduling. I mean, there's a plan to include that, but it's not going to be included in the law this time. I mean, we want to get that, but the courts are very difficult to work with that slow. Which is kind of, I don't understand it, but anyway. Yeah, in Salt Lake County, I have to give props to Salt Lake County. They've done a lot of work with JTI also to get things going. We've kind of piggybacked off what they had already done to get us started and jumpstart, so appreciate the work they've done.
It'll really stink if you guys go live before we do.
Well, I kept thinking they're going live, they're going live. No, not yet. And so they had some things they had to get done in order to make it work for them, and where we could go live and get this done, but then kind of patch on the rest of it later and it would still work. So that might be what happens.
It's possible.
But yeah, the agreement was that they would have e-filing working as part of the thing. I haven't seen that yet, so I'm going to ask a lot about that and where it's at. But it's the difficulty with e-filing and getting data back, like calendar information, the courts just stonewall you. Or their vendor, whichever.
Well, I think that we can deal with. It's the when the courts implemented e-filing, and that created a double burden on our offices that we have to do the data entry for PIMS and then the data entry for
e-filing. And that's what we're...
If we can fix that problem, I think we can move forward.
Yeah.
I mean, that interacting further with the court
can come later, would just be a bonus.
You know, the cherry on top, right?
There's also talks about getting data from the police, but that won't be included in this part of the process, but that's something that we're looking at and is definitely impossible to do.
It's proof that judges really are smarter than us. They shifted all that workload over to our offices from there.
It did. It made a big shift in workload. Yeah. They did that. That was kind of a sad thing, but hopefully we can fix that.
You know, he says it's not part of this iteration. I was just mentioning to James. I'm hoping to apply, for grant funding for as many years as I can, hopefully each year, so that we can fund some of these additional projects that were not contemplated or weren't paid for in the initial one, as well as then when Utah County, Washington County, and some of the other counties that have gone with Journal Technologies, but their server-based product, we'd like to get them onto e-prosecuting, the cloud-based. So when those contracts start to come up, a year or two before, then I want to start applying for grant funding so that we can get everybody over and onto the same product. Cache County probably will never change because they have the magic contract. They basically get it for free. I mean, Journal pays them for the privilege of having it in their office.
Not true. Yeah, right.
Okay.
I actually, Bob, I think we, when it's economically viable and if there was help like that, I think it would be in our interest to join up with the state. And even though our legal assistants may squawk and squeal a little bit, I think I'm all in favor of doing that. It's the thing of economics.
Right.
So once it becomes economically viable, we can do it.
Yeah. It's like I said, is my grandpa.
We'll give up our bonus each year.
So I'm hoping that with the grant funding, that we'll be able to apply for some just continuing funds. I'm definitely going to apply in 5 years when our contract runs up for us so that we're not, jurisdictions are not having to pay that bit just to cover these other issues.
There's a lot of benefits to the cloud-based system too. The backup, that your IT would love you, I'm sure, or love us if we ever went to that too.
Hey, we had some people wander in late. If you came in late, would you say your name for Marilyn, Rob?
Rob and I came in.
And then Dave came in and James.
James.
Yep.
Yeah, James.
You got to say your name out loud.
James Swink, Cache County.
That's who you are.
Dave Carlson, Attorney General's Office.
Jeremy Humes, Carbon County.
Okay, thank you. Is that all for the IT report? Okay. Let's go to the UPC statute.
Not a whole lot to report there. Steve has the final version that was approved by the council last meeting and is getting it to Representative Stevenson with a B. Senator Stevenson with a B, not a PH. Okay. Now, the 0.5% surcharge, so I have put in at tab J, that's the language that we were proposing last year, or this last legislative session to keep it, so I've just re-resurrected it. what is the, what do y'all suggest that we do? I mean, I'll, you know, work with Dan in the AG's office, but in terms of trying to get that 70,000 back, it's, I know Representative Ivory was anxious that we get it for training. Representative Romero actually came and spoke Monday morning at the start of our of the course. You know, she wants to get the training dollars back. So I think, you know, there's some movement where we get support, but where do I start? What do y'all?
Well, if, I mean, who's going to run it last year? I don't remember.
Well, remember, it was Senator Christensen that ran the bill before he realized that we could have used the money. So do we go back to him? I think with our discussions with Reed and I, when we talked to him last year, he was willing to withdraw it. It's just that by then the money had shifted from the, anyway, yeah, the money was gone. But he said, you know, if you'd gotten to me 2 weeks earlier, I would have stopped this and we never would have gotten rid of the, you know, changed hands with the money. So what it's going to require is taking the 70,000, we need to get general funds, 70,000 back from the general fund to give to family services, so that then the 70,000 they're getting from the surcharge can come back to the AG's office to come to us. So it's basically reversing, if they will do that, reversing what they did last year. So is it Senator Christensen? I mean, just go back to him, do you think?
Well, yeah, but you know, and go ahead and talk to Representative Romero, what's that one you said?
Ivory, Ken Ivory.
Yeah, Ken Ivory, and if it comes from them, the other thing you need to do is go to Family Services and say, hey, this is what happened. Are you going to scream?
Right.
If we get this back, I'm confident that they won't.
Yeah, as long as we can replace, you know, get the general funding back.
And that's, I mean, that's just a drop in the bucket for them. And so, yeah, whatever we need to do, I don't think it's going to be
okay.
Not a huge deal for them, but it is for us.
Yeah. Okay, so I'll do that.
Obviously, you got both of those people that would be house sponsors for it, but
right,
and if
right.
Christensen is in the group, and we get 2% of the yeah. sponsor.
Okay. I mean, you okay if I initiate that, or should yeah. really that come through Reed and or Dan on the AG side? You know, Reed from SWAT, who sort of represents UPC. I mean, not.
Where you've talked to them?
Yeah.
If just follow through with that, and if they're good to go, then we'll take it from there.
Okay. Okay, so that's it then on the two statutes.
Yeah, you still open the door, it won't go through it. You dealt with it in a different order.
Okay.
It's the
virtual
training.
Virtual, okay, so that's the virtual reality training. Ken Wallentine is going to be here. He's going to have a table set up out front. That's the 300, like the 300 degree virtual reality where you come and shoot the gun. You can see the comments from the first group that we had. We filled up every slot. Everybody loved it. We've got we're doing it the last part of October and all of November, except for Thanksgiving week, and already I'm probably about, a third full. The interest is there. It's an awesome experience. If you guys haven't yet done it, I'd really encourage you to reach out to Ken. He'll be here this weekend. And they love it when folks can come, but it's really good training. So that suggestion came from the training committee, and it's really been a great, great thing that I think will just make it a regular occurrence.
Office moves.
We have officially moved. We're on the third floor of College Drive. Our mailing address is there. The only thing that has changed in terms of the mailing address is just the suite number. Instead of 201, we're now 302. If you send it to 201, Lori Oliver on the second floor, Dave's assistant, is more than, you know, graciously will walk it up to us, or at least let us know we have mail down there. So our phone numbers have remained the same, although we're going to try and change Ron's number. That extension 1234, when you Google Utah Attorney General's office or Utah Prosecution, that's what comes up. So Ron gets lots and lots of phone calls from people just looking.
And I can't help him.
So we're looking at probably going to change his extension. We'll let you know. And then Marlise, because the temporary office that she was in on the second floor, that didn't have a landline in it, and so we will be getting her one shortly, and so when she has a landline, we'll
sounds
get
like
that
1234 will be available.
It was 18 months coming. Appreciate Dave and any, you know, help that the office, you know, that Dave gave to us in support, and it hasn't been without its bumps but we're where we want to be. I know it's not politically correct, but I'm not even going to say that.
Thank you.
Yeah, there's no. I was just going to say, yeah, chocolate cake, right?
Chocolate cake.
Yeah. No, just chocolate cake.
Oh, okay.
It's where I wanted to be in the first place.
We'll stay with chocolate.
Yeah. So anyway, you can talk to us later. Other business? Yeah. Hopefully you all have received the invites for the aging lunch. Do you want to mention something about that?
Yeah, we just wanted to spring for lunch Thursday. It's a lunch on your own day. So I think we're in this room again,
yeah,
aren't we?
Yeah, we're here in this room.
We're here in this room, and the hotel will cater the lunch. So.
That's
come if you
good.
Can. If you can't come, send somebody from your office to take your place.
Appreciate that.
And also, SWAP will have lunch in here as well. So,
today. And let me just say, you know, Dave is really done because his office was, I was across from Dave. And
we shouted at each other.
We did. But if you haven't recognized, you know, that he in particular in the Justice Division has really tried to reach out and help you guys. I know he's been on the phone with several of you or several of your counterparts. It's been great to see, you know, the outreach of the support from the AG's office. So this is just another one of those ways to let you guys know that he's available to staff. So please let us know.
Next meeting.
Yeah. Oh, well, actually, one last thing. Has anybody talked to Del Air since?
I've emailed with him.
I texted him.
Yeah, anybody? Because Jan was asking me, and I feel bad that I haven't followed up. I just...
Hard to know what to say, but...
Just told him, sorry, and he said, thank you. That's
okay. Do we know if he's registered to be here at the conference right now?
We offered to go down and cover anything he needed covered, and... I'm sure other people did as well, but he emailed me back and said he's still pretty devastated, as you can understand. I don't think he's back to work yet.
Okay. He has told people he's not going back, so I hope.
Oh, is that right?
The shock where, that he doesn't want to go back, but that was right after, so hopefully he does. But he's got probably 25 years in or so. But
so just, you know, keeping your thoughts. Like I said, when Jan asked me, I felt a little chagrined that I haven't followed up, but with our move and getting ready for this,
I'm sorry.
His son committed suicide.
Okay.
How old was he?
17. And he found him.
Yeah, he was first on scene. He was there before first responders. It was out in the county or more remote area.
Yeah. I know the AG's office sent some flowers or plant. UPC sent something. CJC, we combined with them.
SWAP,
I think SWAP did. So.
Thanks to Steve.
Yeah, so appreciate that support from y'all. So the next meeting, Wednesday, January 16th at 8:30. We've already reserved the room. It'll be on the first floor training room in College Drive. So if you have not been there, you get off at 53rd South, and it's just right there. It's just really, really super convenient.
What day is that again?
It will be a Wednesday.
January
16th.
16th.
At 8:30,
okay.
2019.
What time was that?
We're going to be at 8:30, and then SWAP will be at 10, followed by the new county attorney training.
We sure appreciate the 10 o'clock slot, just so you know.
just real quick, so you said that the training committee is meeting next month?
Yes.
So maybe this is an item that they should discuss. So we've had lots of meetings. You know, UCDA has talked about it. SWAT Black and SIBLAC have talked about Proposition 2. But all the discussion has been about either if you support it, you're not saying anything. If you don't support it, you're just all upset, right? We've started to have some discussions, like at SIBLAC and SWAT Black, about whether or not we should get involved at trying to fix legislation if it does pass, or, you know, all that discussion. But we also need to be thinking about what training would be necessary. You know, I've looked at some pieces of it, and I'm concerned, like, just, I think there'll be a period of time where basically I won't be able to prosecute any marijuana charges, because like the way that it's written right now, until the State Department of Agriculture, I think it is the one that sets up the permitting process, until they actually do that in like 2020 or 2022.
July of 2020, yeah.
Or something, it'll be an affirmative defense that if you could have qualified for a marijuana card, that's an affirmative defense to possession, which I think basically, I mean, the way I look at that kind of prohibits us from even really enforcing it at all until they're in place. But from a training perspective, I think we need to have somebody, maybe somebody that's assigned to really dig into it, maybe set, you know, some openings in the trainings that are scheduled to fill a spot on Prop 2, assuming that it passes. If it doesn't pass, what the legislature then comes up with, because I think that's where we're at, is that there's going to be something. If it's Prop 2, it's going to be, if it's not Prop 2, it's going to be something else. So
that's,
we need to kind of stop talking about how much we hate it and start talking about, okay, what are the actual implications on the jobs?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I think Tyson is kind of has some eyes on that. If not, we'll have Tyson put some eyeballs on that. But that is a good idea for the training committee. That's something we can talk about and prepare for. So, good.
Okay. Anything else? Thanks, everybody.
Appreciate it.
Marilyn, did you have mileage forms?
I do.
And you have.